You've been monitoring the group ever since its inception, ever since it emerged in the Syrian conflict, and then since it pushed into Iraq. And we've been speaking to a number of foreign fighters as well, both from this country and from other countries in Europe, who have gone over to Syria and joined the Islamic State.
What is the... I know we're told that they want to establish a caliphate and all the rest of it. Is that realistically their aim? Because at the moment, it looks as if they're just setting about spreading as much terror as they possibly can in the hope that people will be so afraid of them, they'll be able to do what they want to do in that area, in that region.
Well, we get one part of the picture in the West, which is we see the terror that the organization spreads and we see the brutality that it perpetuates against its enemies. But internally, in the bits of land that they hold, they've understood how to operate as an effective insurgency. So they are actually seeking to build bridges with prominent clans and tribes. They are seeking to provide alternative sort of social services in order to win the support and sort of supportive of people on the ground in those areas. So in that sense, they really are seeking to build a parallel society and a parallel state. But it's one that they believe must have frontiers rather than borders. And by that, they mean the frontiers will always be expanded. They want to keep pushing out, acquiring new territory, and ultimately enveloping the whole world into their worldview.
And to do that, they must create many, many converts to their cause. The voice of the executioner, if we're to use that word, on that awful video was an English one, an English accent. How do people like that man become radicalized so that they will perform those dreadful acts?
Unfortunately, the British participation in the conflicts now raging in both Syria and Iraq has been one of full participation, one that has seen them at the front lines taking part in the conflict in every way. So we've seen British fighters out there operating as suicide bombers. We've seen them operating as executioners. Unfortunately, they are amongst some of the most vicious and vociferous fighters who are out there. And that is unfortunately just a part of their radicalization.
But how does that radicalization come about and how might we stop it?
In the Syrian conflict, at least in the first instance, the original fighters who went out were radicalized by what they regarded as the persecution of Sunni Muslims. They regarded Islam as being really under an existential threat, but one from within, that they felt the Shias in the region were oppressing Sunnis, and so they wanted to go out. Ever since then, there has been momentum for ISIS. It has been able to hold large bits of territory and it's been able to effectively say, look, we are a state, people should come here. And so for a number of young men, they've been very seduced by that. They feel that they're on the cusp of creating a new history. They feel that they're on the cusp of victory, for want of a better phrase. And so they've been really propelled to go out there. And we're also seeing, of course, on social media, the ability for people who are out there to communicate with others back in the West to say, look, I'm just like you. I was 18 or 20. I've just done my A-levels. If I can make it here, you can make it here. And that element of direct interaction with fighters, the extent to which they've been humanized by their experiences out there for people who look up to them.
Dehumanized?
Well, dehumanized to the rest of us, but certainly to those who are attracted to this kind of idea, it makes it that much more real and feasible.
And the danger that they will at some stage come back here and try to spread their terror here?
I think that's a very real threat. We have seen something like 250 returnees to this country from Syria, if we go back to the start of the conflict. So clearly people have gone out there and then returned. The government, of course, is very concerned about that, as are the security service, and they are seeking to detain those who return. Unfortunately, as the way the Foley video was framed, it makes it very clear now that ISIS will react against any Western involvement or intervention into the conflicts, either in Syria or Iraq. And that, of course, given that we are now helping minorities in Iraq, the Yazidis, the Kurds, for example,
they regard that as an assault on them.
They regard that not just as an assault on them, but they regard it ultimately as a declaration of war against Islam itself. And therefore, that's the kind of narrative, of course, we've heard from Al-Qaeda in the past. That will license them to attack targets and individuals and Western interests as they see fit.
Shiaz Maher, thank you very much indeed for talking to us.
Thank you.